Part 5. What good is our suffering? Are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all?
What is glory? Glory is what you see when you peer out of an airplane at 30,000 feet and are swept away by the bright glow of an orange and pink and red and purple sunset, flaming its brilliance behind the snow-capped peaks of a majestic mountain range. Glory is beauty. Glory is splendor. Glory is magnificence. Glory is all that is worthy of praise and honor and shouts of great joy. And it is glory that our Father in heaven plans to shower upon us in downpours that will never cease. But not now, not quite yet. As Robert C. McQuilkin has said, it is suffering and then glory. Not to have the suffering means not to have the glory.
Chapter 17, No Contradiction. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Romans 5:2-5.
Some things just don't seem to go together. Oil and water, asparagus and ice cream, gasoline and blowtorches, icebergs and iguanas. They just don't mix. They're incompatible, just like joy and suffering, right? Well, not exactly. As hard as it is for us to understand, let alone experience, Scripture often pairs these two seeming opposites. Ponder just a few examples. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. James 1:2. If you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. 1 Peter 3:14. Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. 1 Peter 4:13. I rejoice in what was suffered for you. Colossians 1:24. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. 2 Corinthians 6:10. When such a puzzling combination appears so often in Scripture, we ought to stop a moment and try to make sense of it. What are we to make of this odd pairing? Is the true patron saint of Christianity really the Marquis de Sade? Are we really to rejoice in our trials? And if so, how? First, it's important to see that Scripture never glorifies suffering for its own sake. The kind of suffering the Bible so consistently pairs with joy is not pain for pain's sake, but suffering that produces something else. Suffering that goes somewhere. Suffering that creates godly qualities in us that gladden the heart of God. The Apostle Paul makes this clear in Romans 5:3 when he writes, "We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance." He does not say, "We rejoice in our sufferings because excruciating pain is its own reward." We can rejoice in our trials because we know that, when properly cultivated, they will blossom into precious divine fruit. But here we must be careful. Few things make Dave and me angrier than reality-denying speeches that go something like this. "Oh, praise the Lord, I'm going through this. Praise the Lord for this pain." Oh, that may sound spiritual, but it's not. It's false. Suffering is not a pleasant thing, and to limp around with a fake smile on our lips and saccharine words on our tongue does a terrible disservice to the gospel. If pain itself were so great, why is God going to do away with it in heaven? No, it's not the pain for which we are to be joyful, but the good results that it can produce in us. To deny the pain and the suffering and the agony is to lie and to cease living in the truth, and that neither honors God nor helps us. And still we are to rejoice in our sufferings. The word Paul uses for rejoice here might be better translated as glory or even exult. He does not mean that our sufferings should naturally make us happy, but that we must choose to glory in them because suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. If we begin by putting our hope in God, Romans 5:2, Paul insists, then even our sufferings can themselves lead to greater hope, Romans 5:4. Surely not a vicious circle, but an invigorating and welcome one. And yet, does this really work? Can life really turn out like this? Or is this pairing of suffering and joy just a bad joke? In his old but still lively commentary on Romans, William R. Newell briefly tells the story of Mary, a Christian suffering under communist rule in northern Siberia. Newell reproduces part of a letter Mary somehow got to the West. "The best thing to report is that I feel so happy here. It would be so easy to grow bitter if one lost the spiritual viewpoint and began to look at circumstances. I am learning to thank God for literally everything that comes. I experienced so many things that looked terrible, but which finally brought me closer to Him. Each time circumstances became lighter, I was tempted to break fellowship with the Lord. How can I do otherwise than thank Him for additional hardships? They only help me to what I always longed for, a continuous, unbroken abiding in Him. Every so-called hard experience is just another step higher and closer to Him." Did you notice? Mary was not enthused about the sufferings themselves, but about what they were doing in her. That is exactly Paul's message in Romans 5:2-5. Mary exulted in her sufferings because they took her another step higher and closer to Him, another step closer to her fountain of hope. Newell also tells us of a friend of Mary's, a new convert who discovered the same unworldly dynamic at work in her own life. Barbara was imprisoned after she publicly declared her faith in Christ, and Mary feared the worst, but this was the result. "Yesterday, for the first time, I saw our dear Barbara in prison. She looked very thin, pale, and with marks of beatings. The only bright thing about her were her eyes, bright and filled with heavenly peace and even joy. How happy are those who have it! It comes through suffering. Hence, we must not be afraid of any sufferings or privations. I asked her through the bars, 'Barbara, are you not sorry for what you have done?' 'No,' she firmly responded. 'If they would free me, I would go again and tell my comrades about the marvelous love of Christ. I am very glad that the Lord loves me so much and counts me worthy to suffer for Him.'" Probably we are not suffering for our faith in a hostile communist land. Our suffering is more likely due to a body gone awry. Yet the principle is exactly the same in both cases. We can rejoice, even exult in our sufferings because they bring us another step higher and closer to our hope, Jesus Christ. As Nicholas Wolterstorff has written in his poignant Lament for a Son, "In the valley of suffering, despair and bitterness are brewed, but there also character is made. The valley of suffering is the veil of soul making. And in such a veil, we really can rejoice without the slightest contradiction."